Today on The Journey.
Now I'm going to warn you, this is a big prayer. Paul is going to ask for some big things. So if you choose to pray this prayer for your life, get ready to be stretched. Get ready for God to work in your heart.
One prayer with four levels. Honestly embraced, it will take you from a shallow spiritual existence to the deep life God has created for you. In just a moment, Ron Moore comes to share that prayer. Are you ready? Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron Moore's digital devotional, More Than Words. It contains 30 daily meditations that open the Lord's Prayer so you can discover all the treasures hidden there. More Than Words is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Filled Up on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We're considering this book that Paul wrote from a prison in Rome to Christians in Ephesus. He wrote it around 60 AD. And today we come to chapter 3, verse 14. It's a prayer of Paul. It's the second prayer he has prayed for the Ephesians in this book. And our application is this. If Paul, the apostle, thought these things important to pray for the Christians in Ephesus, so we, Christians today, should believe these things important to pray in our own lives. Now, I'm going to warn you, this is a big prayer. Paul is going to ask for some big things. So if you choose to pray this prayer for your life, get ready to be stretched. Get ready for God to work in your heart. If you are satisfied with where you are on your spiritual journey, you won't need to pray this prayer. But for the rest of us who want to go deeper and stronger and understand more fully the love of God, this is a prayer for you. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom all the family in heaven and earth derive its name. And I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And to that prayer, Paul can only respond with the doxology, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now, the first thing I want us to note about this prayer is its content. Paul here is not praying for material things. He's not praying for physical things. He's not praying for outward things. Rather, Paul is praying that God would work in the inner being. The spiritual part of man, the inner being is man's heart, that center of his mind, his thinking, his emotions, his feeling, and his will, his actions. Paul says, that's where I want God to work. I want some things to happen in your spiritual life. Material things are great to pray for, and Paul will do that later. But Paul is saying, if you really want to grow, if you want to go deep, if you want to understand the love of Christ, here are the things you need to pray for. That the Spirit would work in the inner man. Let's look at the prayer then. Paul begins, "For this reason." We have to stop there and ask, what reason is Paul talking about? And so we have to go back in the passage that Paul has introduced this new concept, this new society called the church. Paul said it was a mystery. It was a sacred secret that God didn't reveal in the Old Testament, but now He has revealed this sacred secret. And this mystery is that every person, regardless of race or nationality or background, every person through Christ is one in the church. The mystery is the church. So Paul says, first of all, as I think of this great plan of God, as I am amazed at this plan of God called the church, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. Now, there are a lot of ways to pray. You can pray while you stand. You can pray while you sit. Sometimes in urgency of prayer, we see in the Old Testament and New, people falling on their faces before God, but Paul here kneels before the Father. He is showing reverence. He is showing worship. And he's showing a sense of urgency as well. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Look at verse 15. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth derive its name. Now, we have to look at that phrase for a second because it's been misused. Some would take this verse and say, well, that teaches the universal fatherhood of God, that God just loves everyone, and at the end of the day, everyone will go to heaven. Universal fatherhood of God. That is not what this verse teaches. Look at the context of Ephesians. Paul has been clear that salvation is only through faith by grace. So here is what I believe Paul is saying. He is simply saying that we have been adopted, as he told us in chapter 1, as sons and daughters through Christ. We are all God's family, again, regardless of background, race, nationality, through Christ. And whether we are in heaven, whether we have died in Christ and now worship Him in heaven, that's the church triumphant, or whether we are on earth, still living here, still plotting out our lives, that's the church militant, wherever we are, we have one common name. That's the name we derive from our Heavenly Father. We are His sons, His daughters. Okay, in verse 16, Paul then begins his request. And Paul's going to pray for four things. And again, I submit to you, if these were important for Paul to pray for the Ephesians, then they are important for us to pray for ourselves. These requests build on each other. We could call them the ascending essentials of Christian growth. Okay, here's the first thing that we then as believers should be praying for. Look at verse 16. Paul says, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. First thing then we should be praying for is strength. Now let's think about, as Paul has said, that He may strengthen you with power. Again, what does that word power mean? We see it three times in this passage, and Paul has talked about it a lot in Ephesians. Let's go back to Paul's first prayer in chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 18. Paul here is going to define what power is so that we can talk about it as we go through this prayer. Paul says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Then he explains what that power is like. That power is like the working of His mighty strength. The word working is the Greek word energia. We get our word energy from it. So that power is the energy of God. Of His mighty strength. The word mighty there is used only of God in the New Testament, and it's His power to overcome resistance, same power that's used when Christ does miracles. His strength, of course, is His might. So we could define power here as God's dynamic, divine energy. It's the same power He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. The same power that lives within us through the Spirit, God's divine dynamic energy, is the same power that God used when He raised Christ from the dead and took Him to heaven to sit with Him there. Same power that is at work within us. You say, that's great, fantastic, man, I want that kind of power. That's supernatural. Then I could really do some things that I want to do. Paul says, yeah, let me tell you the things that this power enables you to do, this supernatural power. In fact, he's going to spend the rest of his book doing that. Let's look at chapter 4. This supernatural power, this divine dynamic energy in chapter 4, verse 2, will help you to be humble. Are you naturally humble? I'm not. Gentle, patient, bearing with one another. Unity. Turn over to verse 29. Paul's going to tell us by the Spirit, we can keep unwholesome talk from coming out of our mouths, that we can build each other up. Verse 31, that we can get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, slander. 32, we can be kind and compassionate to one another. In chapter 5, Paul is going to tell us that with this divine dynamic energy, husbands, you can love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And wives, you can love your husbands. And parents, you can love your children. And children, you can love your parents. And employee-employer relationship is mentioned here as well. And in chapter 6, he's going to tell us that we can overcome the schemes of Satan, who will try to trip us up and deceive us. Those are the divine, dynamic, supernatural things we can do when the Spirit lives within us. I'm not quite there yet. Are you? And so we pray for strength. Look back in chapter 3, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now you're saying, wait a second. I thought when I became a Christian that the Holy Spirit came and lived within me, and the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, Paul uses all these interchangeably. I thought when I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came to live within me. And now you're saying, I got to do these things. I pray for this strength so that Christ can dwell in my heart. Well, the word dwell is an interesting word here. It actually means to settle in and feel at home. So Paul is using this in a figurative way. He's saying, pray that this power is worked through in your life so that Christ can settle in and feel at home. Is Christ settled into your heart? The first thing Paul then is asking us to pray for is obedience. He's asking us to pray for strength, because we can't do it on our own. Strength to be obedient in every aspect of our life, the inner man, so that Christ can feel at home. Here's a second thing the believer should pray for. Look at verse 17. Paul says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, rooted and established in love. Paul prays for depth. The word root comes from the plant world. It means to have roots that go down and that are strong and that give stability and nourishment. The word grounded comes from the architectural world. It means to build a building with a strong foundation that something is built upon. And as you know, the larger the building, the more beautiful the building, the deeper the foundation. And Paul is saying, then pray for depth in your spiritual life. C.S. Lewis said in his book, Mere Christianity, that too many people want all the thrills of religion without the cost. That's where we are today. We want all the thrills of religion. We want the emotional experience. We want God to help us out in those areas we want Him to help us out in, and leave us alone in those areas that we want to handle on our own. And we're not willing to put in the effort and the obedience and the discipline and the sacrifice to be any different than the rest of the world. Two passages here you need to jot down. We're not going to take a lot of time with them. Psalm 1 speaks to that one metaphor Paul uses regarding the root. And Psalm 1 says that the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and that law he meditates on day and night, he's like, remember, a tree planted by streams of water, and it brings forth its fruit in its season, and it never withers because its roots there are by that stream that gives nourishment and stability. We want to be like a tree planted by streams of water, Psalm 1. The other passage speaks to that architectural figure of speech Paul uses. It's Matthew chapter 7. It's the parable of the wise and foolish builder. And Christ says, therefore, anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice. Remember, that's an important part. They're going to be like a house planted firm, and the winds come and rains come, and it crashes against the house, but the house stands firm, Christ says, because its foundation is on the rock. If you want to pray that prayer for God to grow you deep, then you're going to have to dig a foundation. Thirdly, believers should pray that they'll get a grip. Look at chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. Paul says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love, that's verse 17, 18, may have power, there's that word again, divine, dynamic energy, together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. The word grasp means not only to comprehend with your mind, but to grab with your life, to get a hold of it, to really understand it, put it to practice. And Paul says, I want you believers, I want you to grasp the love of Christ. I want you to know how wide it is. It is wide enough to encompass the whole world. I want you to know how long it is. It is from eternity to eternity. I want you to know how high it is. It is so high that this love of Christ will raise you up and seat you in the heavenly places with Christ. The love of Christ is so high that one day when you die, you will pass from death to life and be raised to heaven with God. And it's so deep that it can rescue you from sin, that there is no sin that you could ever commit that the love of Christ can't handle. Think of the worst one. Think of it in multiples. The love of Christ is so deep that He'll meet you there. Verse 19, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge. You're not going to be able to comprehend this. I'm not going to be able to comprehend this. But to know that God's love is incomprehensible. The greatest love we can think about is beyond that. One more thing here. Notice the context in which Paul wants us to grow in this love. Look at verse 18. You may have power together with all the saints. Remember, he started his prayer saying, for this reason, because of God's great plan in the church, he says, that's where I want you to see the love of God. Isolated by yourself, you can experience the love of God, but it's going to be narrow. It's only going to be as big as your experience. But together with all the saints, as we interact in the church, you can see just how great is Christ's love for us. Paul says that's how you can really begin to understand the love of Christ. One more thing we need to pray for. The end of verse 19, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So the last thing we need to pray for is to be filled with the fullness of God. Now, the means of fullness is the Holy Spirit, that Spirit working within the inner person. The measure of fullness is God Himself. And the fullness of God is complete holiness and complete perfection. That's the standard that we should be praying to be filled up. Our standard should not be each other. The standard is God. Holiness, perfection. Leviticus 19, God says, be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord your God. Christ says in Matthew 5, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, that's quite a standard, isn't it? Our position in Christ is as full as it can get. Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10 says this, for in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells, lives in bodily form, and you have been given the fullness of Christ. So positionally, you have as much Christ as you can ever get. But practically, we live out as much as we grasp, as much as we pray for, just how much we understand, and just how much we want to be filled up. To pray that we would be filled up with the fullness of God. So let's think about that prayer. We're praying for strength, the divine dynamic energy to explode in our lives. We're praying for depth, that God would give us stronger roots and a deeper foundation, that nothing would shake us, that nothing would move us. We're praying to grasp with our puny little minds the vast love of God. And we're praying to be filled with not half of God, but with all of God, the fullness of God. And you say, you got to be kidding. I can't do that. It is not going to happen to me, not in this lifetime. What audacity to pray a prayer like that. I'm not going to pray a prayer I can't even do. Well, that's a problem. You can't do it. But Paul says someone's able to do it. Look at verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. You are not able. Paul says, God is. He's able. He can handle it. He can take you to the next step. He is able to do all we ask. Every prayer you pray for the right things, God is able to do. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says this, you don't have because you don't ask God. And when you ask, you don't receive because you're asking with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. But here are things, strength, depth, grasp of God's love, fullness that I know and you know because of God's word he wants us to pray for. These are the right things to pray for. God is able to do it. He's even able to do all we ask or imagine. Your greatest spiritual dream, God is able to handle. He's even able to do more than we ask or imagine. He's even able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. And he's able to do it with the Spirit who already lives in every believer. If you want to grow deep, if you want to experience God like you have never experienced him before, if you want to stand strong, that's the prayer to pray.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Have you ever happened upon an old familiar trunk stored in the attic that you'd never opened? It had been there for years, a constant companion to your other family heirlooms, but to that point, unexplored. Then one day you had a look inside and discovered treasures you'd only dreamed of. Items with rich history that revealed more about you and your heritage than you ever imagined. Well, that's a lot like the spiritual wealth found in the Lord's Prayer. In his digital devotional, More Than Words, Ron Moore unlocks and opens this favorite biblical passage. There, in 30 daily meditations, he unveils rich concepts the Lord Jesus intended for you to find and enjoy. Items like living in awe of God, living in forgiveness, and seeking spiritual protection. A PDF copy of More Than Words is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
We are going to begin what I've titled The Great Adventure. Worshiping God. It's not the greatest adventure, as if it were one of many adventures we do. It is the great adventure of our life. It's what we were created to do. God created us to experience Him in every aspect of our life. And so we want to make certain that we get out of the box. What I want to do is put before us a working definition of worship. And I say working definition because we're going to spend some time going through and studying about worship. And so we may tweak this definition a little bit. We may change some words here or there, but the thrust of the definition will not change. So here it is, a working definition. Worship is an active demonstration of my love for God by appropriately responding to His person, to His work, and to His word.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And don't forget to drop by our website to order your copy of Ron's PDF devotional titled, More Than Words. Understanding its biblical truths will revolutionize your prayer life. More Than Words is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmore.org. ronmore.org. Also, we invite you to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our online worship services and special events, plus Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.